If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Watch your back, Sean Luke.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Do it.
Captain
Welcome to The Greatest Generation. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys just a little bit embarrassed about having a Star Trek podcast. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison. How you doing today, Adam?
The tops of my cans of seltzer water. You know, do you do this thing like someone throws you a cold one and you grab it and I reflexively, like I'll draw my thumb across the part where my lips will go.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll draw my thumb again over the top where the popper goes, and then it's ready to drink. As if my thumb has any properties that would make it any more clean than it would be.
Are you broadcasting from a summer barbecue where somebody underhanded you a cold one?
Well, I'm telling you this because like the last several cans of bubbly water I've had have felt kind of greasy to me.
Ooh.
And I can't figure out why that is.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely admonished as a boy to always clean a can if I didn't know where it had been because, you know, the boxes that they ship those in are not, like, enclosed. And so, like, you know, rats can run over the top of the cans or whatever.
Anything can happen in those trucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I guess I don't drink straight from the can very often in any case.
Oh, is that my problem?
I feel like I went on like a tour of a beer brewery one time and they...
Oh, no. Now I'm going to learn the awful truth, aren't I?
No, it wasn't bad. It was just like you'll enjoy the beer more if you pour it out in a glass because
I've
stuff.
Never seen that many rats fucking at once. And it was on top of every can. Rat rope after rat rope.
Most cans are made of rat shit. No, it was just like a, you'll enjoy the beverage more if your nose is doing its part of the job also.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when you drink a glass of wine, your beak goes all the way in that glass.
I want to open up this lime and bubbly water flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. I don't know if it counts for sody pops and whatnot.
I chose lazy. I didn't want to dirty another glass, but maybe I should have.
Now that I'm thinking of it, like the default way soda is presented to us in most contexts is cup with lid and straw, which like completely cuts the nose out of the equation.
It cuts the nose to spite the soda. It's not how it should be at all.
Yeah. I like my nose. I like breathing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I finally can. Feeling as good as I have in weeks.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Cleared right up.
Adam, it's been a little while since the re-encounter at Farpoint, but we had a great time doing that live show. And one of the things that we've been doing with these streaming shows is VIP meet and greets where we, you could compare these to a Zoom call where we just hop on and get to meet Friends of DeSoto briefly. And we take a quick photo with them and talk to them about whatever they want to talk about. And we were on with listener Andrew recently, who swears up and down he has a real fiance who isn't in Canada.
We spent most of our meet and greet time trying to determine whether or not that was true.
But Andrew, in a recent Code 47, sent in a whole bunch of custom-made Star Trek Mad Libs and reminded us of this. And I felt like an idiot because I was really excited when we opened the box and discovered these Mad Libs, but we haven't done a Mad Lib Marin since we received them. And I think we should rectify that today.
Oh, yeah. Let's rectify it big time. The both of us.
One, two.
And you people, you're all... some kind of Star Trek.
Mad Lib.
Some kind of Star Trek.
Mad Lib.
Excited for this. It's been a long time. In most past editions of Star Trek Mad Libs, I've been the one with the pad.
Yeah.
And you've been the word giver. I'm a little nervous about being the word giver. I want to choose good words.
Yeah, the shoe's on the other foot today.
Yeah.
I guess we could potentially go back and forth also, because the way these work is that we fill it out on one side of a piece of paper and then we'll flip it over and find out what we did. So it's even going to be a mystery to me as we fill this out.
Wow. Okay.
But why don't you get us started with a verb ending in ing?
All right. Verb ending in ing. A verb is an action word. Right?
A verb is an action word. Right?
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It's like my favorite Star Wars meme.
How about carving?
Carving, okay. There's a temptation to do Star Trek-specific words, but the Mad Lib itself is Star Trek-specific, so I don't think you need to, right?
This is a great point.
I think do whatever words make you feel good.
I'm going to choose intentionally not Star Trek words.
Okay.
And then we'll find out how bad of a decision that was. Okay. Let me do the flip over.
Verb is our next part of speech.
All right. Drink.
Drink. Okay. Plural body part.
Okay. Boobs.
Noun.
Home.
Nonsense name.
Nonsense name.
That's got to be an alien, right?
What does that mean? Nonsense name? Like the name of a person that is... unpronounceable?
Yeah.
Or weird?
Yeah.
How about defested? I'm positive that Jake will take that in the way it's intended.
How about a verb ending in ing?
Skating.
Skating.
That one's going to be for Windy.
We're going roller skating.
Another verb?
Stuff. Like to stuff.
Uh-huh. Another verb, Adam.
Pack.
A period of time.
22 minutes.
Hey, I thought you were trying to avoid Star Trek specifics.
I know, I couldn't help it.
Three adjectives. Now that's a part of speech that modifies a noun.
How about red, white, and blue?
Go America.
A longer period of time than the previous.
Oh, how about 47 minutes?
Fuck, that's so good.
That's a Star Trek reference.
Verb.
Yell.
And finally, a planet.
Neptune.
Okay, Adam, I'm going to unfold this piece of paper and see what we've got here. This story is called Working with Janeway. Mm. Goes like this. Ensign Pranica, you're going to be carving alone with Captain Janeway for the first time today, and I wanted to let you know a few things before you accidentally drink on her boobs. And get yourself into real home. You're going down to Defested 5, and she is going to be relying on you to be skating at your very best. I know you've got what it takes, but you're going to have to stuff it right here, right now. Or the captain won't pack you on an away mission for 22 minutes. She's red, but she's white. She's also more blue than anyone I've ever met. And she's kept us alive for 47 minutes. So stay focused. Yell whatever she tells you to. And we'll all get back to Neptune before you know it.
Hey, that works.
That's pretty good.
That wasn't too crazy.
Yeah, I liked it.
It started very sexy, though.
It did. I mean, a plural body part, I was thinking dicks because Klingons have more than the one.
Right.
That would have been a surprising thing to learn about Janeway, too.
Yeah.
But these things worked out great. Thank you, Andrew, for sending those in.
Andrew, you rule. Thanks for giving us our Marin Open today.
Yeah. Well, Adam, do you want to get into the meat of this episode? Or are you in too conspiratorial a state of mind?
I mean, is that even me? And is that what they want us to think? I don't know.
It's meat laced with adrenochrome.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it's umbilical cord blood meat. Yummy. It's Star Trek Voyager Season 6, Episode 9.
Nice.
The Voyager Conspiracy.
Revert course.
Unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning around.
And in our cold open, we find Naomi Wildman is waiting for Seven in her alcove. I don't know how I feel about a kid playing in my alcove when I'm not around.
Didn't that always feel really intense when you were a kid and you'd go to, over to a friend's house and they'd like want to
And you'd go
show,
into their parents' bedroom?
Yeah, you'd like their parents' bedroom felt like a dangerous, like not okay place to be as a kid.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where all the porn was.
There were definitely kids that I played with growing up who like spent lots of time in their parents' bedrooms and like didn't understand why I had misgivings about going in there, you know, on a visit to their house or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a lot can happen in there. Kind of a lot can happen in there that you wish you could forget, but instead it's just seared into your eyeballs forever.
Yeah. Paging through a dog-eared copy of The Joy of Sex.
Yeah, kind of more dog ears than you'd expect.
Yeah, it's like, how much of this did you not remember from reading it? What the hell? Like, you have to refer back all the time?
There's one of those clips that holds the book flat, like for recipe books, as if it's being looked at during. Don't love that.
Seven has stood Naomi Wildman up for a game of Codiscot. It's a bad look, Seven. This is what Paris was doing to Ensign Kim a couple episodes ago when he got his cool new spaceship.
I think by now, Naomi Wildman should know that she is not a priority for adults.
Yeah.
Reschedule for tomorrow. I'm working now.
The thing that Seven is preoccupied with is a new gadget that she's going to be modifying her alcove with that will enable her to download all of the sensor data from the ship and load it right into her Borg brain. And in this way, she will have a deeper and richer understanding of what the ship is going through on a day-to-day basis. And this is something she was used to doing as a drone. And she's kind of bragging on how much more capable she's about to become.
You know what this idea feels like? 4-10s. You remember the first time that started to go around the office? Like, you know, if I just work 4-10s, I can get Friday off. Like, this feels like what Seven's trying to do. Like, if I can just work in my sleep, I can start taking Fridays for me.
Right.
And then I could play Codiscot with Naomi as much as I want.
That's not how this works, Seven.
That's not how any of this works.
Yeah. Now, you have to get the approval of a manager, and no manager of mine ever approved 4-10s. No matter how emphatic I was about the idea.
Anytime I've had a job, like 3 o'clock rolls around and I'm already so fucking desperate to leave, yeah. I can't imagine like willingly adding a couple hours to my sentence every day.
Yeah, I would say for me, and I know you know this about me, I will just work and work and work, and I will work toward free time in the future that I then never claim.
Yeah, yeah, that's a that's a cruel hamster ball you found yourself in.
Yeah, it's real bad. So when Naomi leaves, Seven gets into her regeneration closet right after Naomi.
Yeah.
I'd probably wipe that down, maybe.
I would also probably do this with some supervision if I was like doing something that will massively modify the way information enters my brain.
Right. You want a chaperone for this, don't you?
I would recommend a chaperone anytime you're modifying the doors of perception. And the music seems to agree with me.
Yeah. Kind of a weird move to theme here. Just a get up into the closet, into theme. And after the theme, Janeway orders fajitas from the replicator during a dinner with Chakotay. And they are so authentic that even the plate is hot. I love that.
Yeah. They're sizzling as they go across the restaurant and everybody starts ordering fajitas. The kitchen's ready for that. They started making a bunch of extra orders of fajitas the second the first one went out.
Hey, we got to move these peppers and onions before they spoil. Time to get these babies out there.
I like seeing date night between Chakotay and the captain.
That's not what this is.
I guess they are in uniform.
They're in uniform, and it seems like all they ever talk about is work when they're together.
Yeah. I like the like small townification of what life on Voyager is like. Paris misread a simulation that the doctor was running on a screen in Six Bay, interpreted it as everyone on deck five is pregnant. That tore through the ship like wildfire as a rumor, and Neelix wanted to make a nursery in one of the cargo bays. That's great.
How excited would Naomi Wildman be for some other kids? Probably very excited. Yeah. That news probably affects her the most.
But her type of alien ages super rapidly, right? So like,
yeah, she's going to be a teen by the time these babies get born.
She's going to hate these kids. And then they'll probably like ask her to help out with them and she'll totally resent them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually not going to work out well for Naomi Wildman at all.
No, it's going to be bad. Life is basically not going in Naomi Wildman's favor.
I think we can all agree on that, yeah. Seven has finished her regeneration cycle back in her alcove, and immediately she blows in a call to BLT. And this is useful dialogue here to tell us what time it is, because BLT is pissed to be getting this call waking her up.
Good morning, Seven. This better be important.
I never want to admit that I'm still in bed if somebody calls me and wakes me up, because I don't want them to feel bad, I guess. And so I'll never cop to being in bed. But like most of the time, people can hear it in my voice. They're like, oh, I woke you up. I'm so sorry. I'll call back later. And I'm like, no, you didn't. I was up. I've been up.
You have routinely answered the phone when I've called with an apology right in the beginning.
Sorry. Hello.
Yeah.
Ben speaking. This is why I feel such an affinity for the people of Canada, you know?
I bet you have a well-practiced, I wasn't just sleeping voice for the phone, right? Because sometimes you'll just give yourself away with groggy voice.
I think that groggy voice is hard to conceal is the issue. So,
My problem is my voice is very deep when I first wake up. So like that's the giveaway.
Yeah.
I've clearly been sleeping if I sound awesome.
Who is this?
Yeah. Who is this really cool person? I must have the wrong number.
Yeah, they show up on the bridge, Seven and BLT, with a request for the captain about turning off the sensor array. And this is after everybody's up and the captain has decided that they're not going to go check out this nebula that Chakotay was interested in because she'd rather look into a graviton flux that they picked up.
Why don't they ever do things that Chakotay wants to do?
I mean, this felt like the right call, like between the two things, like this one more profitable to their endeavor.
Probably no chance of you getting this graviton fluctuation pregnant, Chakotay.
Whereas one in four nebulas we've encountered has been an entity of some kind, and who's to say whether they're fecund or not?
Our course is locked in.
Do it.
Listen to me very carefully.
They're heading toward this graviton flux, and it's a bit weird to take the sensors offline right now because of that. But Seven has this story about these photonic fleas that came aboard, and she goes through this kind of like Hercule Poirot like sequence of events where Neelix brought the larvae aboard in a canister of spice that he acquired from a former Talaxian colony, and like a million weird details lead them to opening up a panel in a Jeffrey's tube and finding little bugs flying around one of the pieces of equipment, and they're messing up the sensors, and Seven was only aware of this because she like downloaded so much information into her head last night.
I really love the unique way that this episode presents that information, like the flashbacks and particularly the moments of them beginning here. Like those choices are really good choices, I think.
I love the way the camera work goes in those flashbacks.
It's unusual too, right?
Yeah, like the camera kind of like flying around the room, and like it, because it's sort of like she has as much detail about anything that was happening on the ship at any given time in the last several months or whatever, that she can just go look in fine detail at any one moment and see what happened. And it's like, oh, the photonic flea larva got out of the can when Neelix opened it and into the replicator because Ensign Kim happened to be servicing it at the same time.
It's a real outbreak the movie style visual language.
Yeah.
Following these particles around, right?
It's airborne.
That's big fun.
Seven is like so vindicated on this theory that seems absolutely cockamamie when she first presents it, that she is just cock of the walk. She is like so fucking proud in this moment when they open the panel up and find the fleas.
She knew it all along.
Yeah.
Very proud moment.
So they pull up to where this graviton flux was coming from, and it's a space station, and they get this dude Tash on the view screen, and he's like, oh, hey, yeah, you guys should put up your shields because we're dealing with some problems with this space station that, you know, will fuck your ship up if you're not careful. I'm trying to restabilize the core, and I need some help.
Tash is a great combination of loaf and attitude and situation that makes you not fear him or be suspicious of him early on.
Yeah.
He just seems like a guy busy doing science, and maybe it's that his first dialogue is like one of protection for Voyager. He's like a middle school scientist about to do something with a Bunsen burner. He's like, stand back, kids. Yeah.
Everybody put on your goggles.
I really like his whole deal.
I liked Tash a lot, too. And yeah, the actor that plays Tash still works all the time. I looked him up, and he's got like multiple 2023 credits, and no surprise.
Yeah. He's got kind of a duck mouth without the beak, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
He's got like a surfboard on his head.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah. Somebody should be riding on that wood.
Hmm. Maybe there's a Mrs. Tash who likes that ride.
Uh-huh.
Because Mrs. Dash brings you a garden of flavors.
So yeah, he's explaining, I'm also a lost soul here in the D-Quad. It would have been 10 years for me to get home. Can you imagine? Anyways, instead of spending 10 years warping home, I just decided to build this great method of travel that could get you 1,000 light years in a matter of hours.
Why aren't we suspicious about this being a one-person job? Like, the way they compose the shots of the exterior, this thing could be massive, but we don't really know its proximity to Voyager.
Yeah.
To know for sure.
It does seem massive.
Got to be big enough to fly a ship through it.
Yeah.
It looks cool as hell as a project.
It does. It's got sort of like a jump gate shape to it, like a lot of science fiction previsages a faster than light travel that requires equipment on both ends, and that's sort of a way it looks.
But the word space catapult is thrown around in this McLaughlin group.
Issue one.
Holy moly. That sounds amazing.
It really does. The question is, how do we restabilize the core? Because I've been testing it and it seems to work, but the energy core destabilized on one of the tests. And without that being fixed, we're kind of up shit creek. And they come up with this idea to use the deflector dish because this is Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of shocked that they're like not trying to get payment for this. But the great deal is like once he's gone, once he gets home, you know, using this, it's there for them to use.
It's real potato gun energy. You got to help your buddy with the PVC pipe and the valves and so forth. So you get to use the potato gun also.
Right, yeah.
And we'll take you up on that offer. Thank you.
And it's like, you know, I know there's like a really high chance that all the like hairspray we're using is going to explode and I'm going to get a piece of PVC shrapnel in my belly or whatever.
Back when I built one, we just used air. We didn't use a flammable fuel for this.
You weren't using an accelerant?
No, we used compressed air.
Wow, that seems smarter.
Yeah. I think it worked one time and then it failed completely, but we never got that potato back. It flew a long way.
Seven is kind of hooked on this new memory download situation. And we see her going to bed, loading herself up with information about the station that Tash built. And she wakes up the next morning in a state of mind that is very concerned about what's going on here.
Yeah. Seven's all about waking people up when she's up.
Yeah.
And Janeway is incredulous about the idea of this being a trap.
She's just trying to enjoy her fucking coffee.
This is hard to believe. Tash rules everything around us.
Treem, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all.
What Seven says has enough to pique the imagination, right? This Upsilon radiation is rare enough that its appearance on this gate, on Tash's gate, is only the second time they've ever encountered it. The first time was at the Caretaker's Array.
Yeah.
So what's going on here? Like, that little detail, Janeway's like, Janeway was not ready to believe it before, but this radiation's too rare for it to be a coincidence. And so in engineering, they full-on hauled Tash there for a DNA test, and they don't find any caretaker DNA in him, which is a relief. A relief enough for Janeway to be like, all right, well, let's keep working together at this point, now that we've verified your identity.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that this happened in engineering, because it's like, what's the logic of even staging this scene here? Just like, they can get to work the second he's done being verified?
All the stirrups are still up on the bio beds from Paris's misdiagnosis of what's going on the ship. It's really not usable. It's stirrups and inflatable jacuzzis.
Wanna go drink a coffee first?
They've been suspicious that maybe he's like part caretaker or a caretaker in disguise or something. And having proven that he's not, they're like, this must be a Tetrion reactor that you used to make this thing. You must have gotten that from a caretaker or similar.
Sure. And his defense is also very credible seeming. He's like, look, the reason I didn't tell you was that this is a pretty high value part over there. It has a significant dollar value.
Yeah, like you destroyed your caretaker station because you didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands. I'm kind of coming from the same place here.
Yeah, you kind of have a reputation for destroying things like this. Can you blame me for not telling you?
Yeah. For not telling the Ship of Death?
They can bill me.
And that makes sense to Janeway. They'll keep working together on fixing the station, but off to the side, Seven tells Janeway, there is a non-zero chance that this is a reactor that is from the caretaker station, and that those torpedoes that you shot at the station were insufficient to destroy this. And so Seven is assigned a sort of forensic examination of the logs and the video and the debris from that explosion. And in the Aslab, she does that.
She reviews all the tape of the destruction of the array and is like analyzing the compounds that were left over after it was destroyed. And she asked the computer about like, what did the Voyager use to destroy it? And it was a tricobalt device that was used.
But what's weird is like a tricobalt device is like a single action weapon. And from that distance, the accuracy just doesn't seem to make sense. So you'd almost assume that there was another shooter,
right,
shooting a different weapon across the way, especially with the way that the station moved once it exploded back and to the left.
Right.
Back and to the left.
So what are you saying?
Was it some kind of magic tricobalt device?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah. And why was there a guy with an umbrella watching the tricobalt device?
Why wasn't the caretaker station wearing a roof at the time? That would be normal, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I did like that scene where they were like apprehending the caretaker, and the caretaker was about to shoot one of them with a pistol, and they caught the webbing between their thumb and forefinger in the hammer of the pistol.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Oh, better than getting shot.
It is really weird when Seven presents this research to Tuvok on the bridge, starts questioning him about the caliber of torpedo he shot, which is way over what was necessary. Like, yeah. Tuvok clearly wanted to make a big boom.
By the big boom.
That the reactor went into subspace mid-explosion due to the caliber of these torpedoes? Like, you tear subspace with these torpedoes, Tuvok. You know that, don't you? And he seems fine with that.
It's like, you don't even care about subspace.
And what about that tractor beam?
Yeah.
It would need to have a ship attached to that, right?
There's one image from the, like, external camera on the Voyager that they keep showing in this episode of mid-explosion there being something that looks like a tractor beam.
And, like, the sun on that tractor beam is clearly, like, casting a shadow at one angle, where, like, the caretaker station shadow is casting a different angle as though it's some sort of composite.
Right, it's like...
Is Tuvok the patsy here? Makes you wonder...
You sort of wonder if, like, Stanley Kubrick directed the footage of the destruction of the array and, like, did it on behalf of a conspiracy to make us believe that it went one way when it really went another.
Sure seems like it. But the thing about Tuvok is that you cannot conversationally corner him into your weird worldview about what might have happened.
Speculation is not evidence.
He's too logical for that.
Yeah, he could never go QAnon, you know?
No, yeah. But you know who could? Neelix. Because in the mess hall, Seven, for some reason, chats him up about what she's trying to puzzle together.
Yeah.
And the events surrounding the pilot episode of the series.
Yeah. Back in that episode, Neelix was a pilot.
Yeah. This is straight out of Law and Order, too. Like, Neelix as guy with a push broom working in a factory, like,
yeah,
getting asked a bunch of questions.
Doesn't stop working as he's being questioned about the details of the case.
Yeah, Neelix is ready to believe her. And he is enthusiastic about, like, being a part of it, contributing his own ship sensor logs. And Seven's like, cool, do we get to see your weird ship? And Neelix is like, fuck no, I'm just giving you the logs.
Just data.
Yeah.
Do not look at my ship.
No one gets to see that ship.
Yeah. So he shares his sensor records with her. And just like as a reminder, this was in an era where the caretaker was bringing ship after ship to the Ocampa system.
It takes Seven like hours to get past all of the Kes stuff, though. Like kind of a gross amount of sensor footage about Kes here, Neelix.
Yeah.
We were getting very close.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Like, it's okay that you had a crush on her.
Yeah.
But, like, this is overkill. And, like, the fact that she never figured this out.
Yeah.
The fact that when she became a being of pure energy, she didn't freshen you up. You are fucking lucky.
Seven checked out the tax documents folder on the sensor logs, and she really regrets that.
Yeah. So she goes and, loads all this information into her brains.
And Mikey, I think he likes it.
The next morning, we get to see Tash using his gadget, and this looks awesome.
It's another scene that really made me like Tash, because like a kid at the top of a hill in a soapbox race, he is so excited, and he's grateful for the help, and he's like, all right, hopefully this works. If it does, you'll hear from me in a couple hours. And what's crazy about this is, like, his enthusiasm is mirrored by Janeway's facial expression, which is like she's watching a grandparent try to eat with chopsticks. Like, she's, like, willing it to work. But deep down, she does not think it's going to.
She does not have a lot of confidence.
No.
Yeah. I love the special effect on Tash firing this thing up. It looked so cool.
Yeah.
You know, his ship is kind of like caught in a web of lightning, and then it just like rockets out of there. And I think that they really did a great job of visualizing Catapult, you know?
Yeah. This portal doesn't necessarily like go anywhere. It kind of folds space. And that combined with Tash's crucifix-shaped ship really gives the whole scene a different vibe.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Tash poking a pencil through that piece of paper felt a lot like Seven going through Neelix's ship logs.
Excuse me, that's Vanessa and that's mine.
If Chakotay had been the one to poke a pencil through that piece of paper to demonstrate how space travel works in Event Horizon, would he have broken the pencil?
Yeah,
after?
I think so too. And that would have been more accurate to what happened in Event Horizon, you know?
Very much so.
I've got to get that platinum.
Get that robe enlargement.
I've got to get that platinum.
Would not.
Are you planning a heist?
Gold.
When I was growing up, I didn't have anyone to tell me about personal grooming. I had to learn these things on my own. So I'm here to save you some embarrassment and recommend the grooming tools that I use, the products from Manscaped. Now, this is a company that constantly has its mind on your bush. Imagine the meetings they have. Imagine the pictures they have in their PowerPoint presentations. Now imagine your junk looking its best thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0. This thing is the latest bonch trimming technology with two interchangeable heads, a standard one for taking just a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants. Moms, can't live with them, can't find a great gift for them. It's madness, and it's the same every year. Mother's Day comes around and it's like, what's it gonna be this year? Another robe, another candle, slippers, a sweater, flowers. We've got to do better than that, right? Well, you can, and it's actually the best gift you could possibly give a loved one, an Aura frame. Now, we have a policy to only do ads on our show for things that we actually like and use, and I gotta tell you, the Aura frame is probably the best gift I've ever given. The folks I've given an Aura frame to love it, and I love it too, because when you give an Aura frame, you're not just giving a person a bunch of old pictures, you're giving them new pictures. Every time you send one, do it. Right now, Aura has a great sale for Mother's Day. Viewers can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com, and the code is SCARVES at checkout to show your support for the show. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
So they've got a couple hours to kill, and Seven's like, this is a great time to call Chakotay to the ass lab, and Chakotay's like, cool, I've got nothing but time.
On my way.
There, Seven sets up the ass lab for masturbation.
Computer, seal the doors. Deactivate all sensors within this room.
Acknowledged.
And like the look on Chakotay's face is like, oh, is this happening?
Whoa.
I had no idea, Seven.
Yeah, he like checks his pits to make sure they don't smell.
Yeah. If only I'd had between 3 and 5 minutes to prepare just minimally. That would have been great.
Instead, Seven reports that Janeway has an evil plot and that she's been using Chakotay and the rest of the Maquis as pawns in a dastardly scheme to establish a military presence by Starfleet and the Cardassians in the D-Quad.
This was an exciting scene because you watched Chakotay kind of smugly, patiently eating this plate of crazy for a bit, like humoring her.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sees that picture of the Cardassian ship among all this evidence, and that kind of changes his mood.
Yeah.
It still doesn't quite explain like why the Federation would participate in a mission like this, like with Janeway in charge especially. And then Seven's like,
there are precedents for unauthorized missions of this type, Commander.
You know this as much as anyone. You've watched it happen.
Right.
And the way Seven like paces behind that rail like a lawyer, like it's total courtroom physicality.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Boston Legal? Because Jerry Ryan was in that show. It made me wonder, like, seeing Lawyer Seven operate in this room made me wonder if this is the audition tape for that show. Like, wow. Pop it in, because she fucking delivers. Jerry Ryan does here.
The way she is relentless with her point of view, the way anytime someone comes back at her with a, yeah, but what about this? She has a snappy answer and then like a follow-up answer to that.
Well, it's like that's the trap of any conspiracy-minded person, right? Like the purity of the information is required only to destroy the idea, but it's never necessary to create it. Like it's your job to destroy this worldview perfectly.
Right. And Chakotay is very much like an uncle scrolling through Facebook where he starts out in a pretty like reasonable state of mind. And by the time he's done with Seven, he is on very shaky ground, like reality wise.
Well, think about what it means to him. Like maybe Janeway isn't in love with Tom Mervins after all.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she's willing to go through this mission, maybe Tom Mervins isn't even real. And those dogs either.
Yeah.
Maybe she's actually single.
All right, you've got my attention.
The implications are apparent.
Yeah. This is like pretty upsetting because Tash would be the final phase of this mission, like building the thing that can bring all of the materiel of an invasion force from the A-Quad. And she's basically worn him down until he is sort of thinking she might have a really great point.
Yeah. It worked. Worked at this point anyway.
Yeah. They hear from Tash. Everything went great on Tash's mission. He's like, yeah, like I'm here. And you guys can go ahead and use my array. You know, a couple of things with the shields, but I'll send you all the information you need to set yourselves up.
And look, like if someone who looks like me claims to be in a relationship with me, looking for where I am or whatever, you didn't see me.
Yeah.
You didn't see me use the array. You definitely don't know where I ended up. And if I had any advice, just say I'm dead. I didn't survive.
And if you could just like don't bring it up in this part of the conversation, but if there's a way to work it in, just say something about how you also believe that eating ain't cheating. Just like, I want them to kind of get the sense that that's like a pretty normal viewpoint.
I'm sure you can understand what it's like walking around with a face appendage like this.
Yeah.
Looking like it's ready to go at all times. I mean, eventually you just get worn down.
It's really tempting for a lot of people. Anyways, it's been great knowing you guys. Enjoy that array. Tash out.
Amazing.
I mustache ride him, thinks everyone that meets him.
One of our more interesting missions.
I'm going to miss Tash a lot.
Yeah.
That guy was great. There goes a real one.
Shout out to a king.
Yeah. Weird that this show got the rights to like Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive. Like, because when he sets out, like the lyrics come in and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Tash was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Janeway's performance in the scene where they find out that it went great for Tash. Like the look of like shock and optimism
yeah.
that she brings to this interaction is so great.
Nana got that pot sticker to her mouth without dropping it in her own lap. Like, amazing.
It's good. I like this.
Janeway's optimism seated right next to Chakotay's suspicion is a mood, right? Like, really I love this moment.
Yeah, so good. And Tash broadcast these shield frequency things that they're going to have to do. And Kim's got it on an iPad and Chakotay leaps up and is like, I'm going to take that down to engineering. Don't do it as an email attachment. I don't want that getting sent directly to BLT like that.
And Kim's like, that's my iPad though. And Chakotay's like, it's fine. It's actually company property.
Yeah. See this weird silvery sticker?
You haven't been using this for like personal use, right, Kim? Right, Kim? And so Kim's got to like fake that, of course he hasn't, but it's a total bluff because he's been using that to pound out to like constantly.
He was stating the obvious again.
Well, you see Kim do that thing where you like quit a bunch of programs before he hands it over to Chakotay. And Chakotay heads down to engineering and he gives the pad to BLT and he's like, all right, put this stuff into the computer, but like mess with the numbers a little bit.
This is my favorite conspiracy of the episode.
Have you run this by the captain?
No, and I'm not going to. Not yet.
This whole vibe? Because I've always felt like outside of the weird moment of romance between them, like Mayquees conspiracy, they gotta be talking like this all the time. Not just about important, serious stuff, but like gossip.
Yeah. And when the two of them are scheming on something.
I love to see this.
It's so charged.
Yeah.
And I think the show is wise not to do this like once a season even, because I feel like it would make the crew feel too incohesive. But this is such a great episode premise to get us into, like, Chakotay and BLT are doing something like explicitly against Janeway behind her back. And like initially BLT thinks it's ridiculous, but then she's sort of brought into the conspiratorial way of thinking because she trusts Chakotay so much.
I think it's crucial though that like the ask isn't destructive either. It's just time buying. It's not like the gate stops working after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Chakotay just needs a moment to look through this information personally.
And I love that they like have to kick Ensign Kim out of the room so that they can keep having their little hushed conversation.
This never happens to Ensign Kim. Usually he's the third in a boy-girl situation and like he's invited right in.
Yeah, everybody's excited he's there.
Something about it reminds me of being in the womb.
Get up, Harry.
Who are you?
Harry Kim. Parents must be very proud.
Who are you?
They come as a pair.
Who are you?
Harry Kim.
Who else is she supposed to get chummy with?
Harry Kim.
And your mom?
Very proud.
Who are you?
Harry Kim.
I lasted 22 minutes.
And your mom? Very proud. Harry Kim.
Who are you?
Harry Kim.
Yeah. So over in the alcove, Seven wakes up and this time demands a meeting with Janeway.
I need to speak with you in the S Lab.
I'm on my way.
And after turning on those masturbation protocols,
Janeway is getting really excited. She's like, I didn't realize that this was happening for me right now. This is great. You never even made me a bathtub. What's this about, Seven?
Most people assume that that experimental part of my life is past me in the academy. I'm still ready to grow and learn sexually. This is great.
Yeah.
Because Seven's message here is the Mayquees are back. And Janeway, like, Janeway's take here is great.
Did Chakotay put you up to this?
Chakotay has been conspiring with the caretaker to use the array as a weapon, like this Tetrion generator that the caretaker had would have been such an awesome, game-changing amount of power for the Mayquees that they might have won their border dispute. This has all been a long con by Chakotay and the rest of the Mayquees to trick Janeway. And she's like, I don't believe that for a second. Tuvok would have told me. And Seven's like, that's the thing. Tuvok is in on it.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to do it.
Do it.
coffee black.
Make it yourself.
I'm trying to help you see this as an opportunity to grow.
Make it yourself.
What did you think was happening here? Because the evidence used was the exact same evidence she used at Chakotay earlier. Did you feel like Seven was glitching or that she was being possessed by some malevolent force or something? This was effectively confusing to me that she would use the same stuff in a different context.
Yeah, because she doesn't do anything like, say, I had misinterpreted this data yesterday and I thought that you were doing something.
There's no mention of that.
Right. Like, she doesn't qualify these findings.
You know, Chakotay tells me everything. So this is very confusing for me.
I heard all the evidence, but none of the upshot.
I heard the evidence over a plate of fajitas.
Mar y Tierra, my favorite.
So the wackadoodle theory this time around is that the Maquis is going to use the reactor to attack Starfleet. I mean, later on in the corridor after this meeting, Seven is totally paranoid about everything and everyone.
Yeah.
You see her looking at people. You see her looking at Naomi as a threat.
Where are you going?
That's not your concern.
Nothing less threatening than Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi totally gets just lit up by Seven in this scene. So mean.
You hope the light up is sufficient that she's gone forever, though. Unclear at this moment in time whether or not she'll be back.
Oh, yeah, Adam. After this part of season six, there's almost no children in Voyager.
Oh, good. Great.
Naomi, like, runs off crying because Seven wants to know who she's affiliating herself with, which sort of goes to that moment of confusion in the scene with Janeway and the Ass Lab. Like, does she think that Chakotay is doing a conspiracy, or does she think that Janeway is doing a conspiracy? And it turns out she thinks both.
Yeah.
She like is holding both ideas in her head at the same time. And this comes to light even further in the next scene where Janeway and Chakotay have sort of been summoned to the cargo bay that Seven sleeps in it's sort of a like trick mom and dad into getting back together again type of storyline. I thought you called me. I thought you called me.
The dueling Dustbusters vibe of this is also a pretty big mood.
Our phaser is standard equipment on board now.
Must be.
The trust in the captain and her first officer has effectively been shaken.
Yeah. And what's interesting about this scene is that there's no confrontation in like a military sense. They don't nearly come to accusations or threats of mutiny or whatever. They both kind of reach this conclusion at the same time, which I think is a fantasy Chakotay's had for a while.
Sounds great.
Like, a suspicion is that they would both conclude simultaneously.
Yeah. Which would be rare in, you know, in terms of how those things usually go, but really exciting when it does happen.
Yeah, you need to stay fully engaged no matter what.
So they get word from Ensign Kim that the Delta Flyer has been jaked and Seven is the one that done the jaking. And Seven also anticipated all the things they might do to try and tractor the ship back when she steals it. Her biosignature has been scrambled. They can't beam her out of there. They can't get weapons lock. They can't tractor beam her.
How much would you have wanted a like whip hand to be Dunks as soon as he realizes that the flyer's been stolen? He's like, oh no, we got to do everything to get this back.
Captain, let me go.
I mean, the Alice ship was special, but this one, the Delta Flyer, I have fucked a lot.
Yeah. So the doctor has been dispatched to the cargo bay where he scanned Seven's bed and found that she's like overloaded her brain and like shorted things out by just putting too much data in there.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
So with this knowledge, Janeway beams over to the Delta Flyer and like bumps right into a force field that Seven has set up around the cockpit. So they have to have this conversation across that threshold.
Yeah.
And Seven is not willing to follow Janeway's orders anymore.
And that means that Janeway needs to appeal to her in some different way.
Yeah.
In a personal way. She's like, Seven, you've been watching too much cable news. That stuff will rot your brain.
Yeah.
There is no conspiracy.
You need to turn it off.
And Seven's like, I know what you're up to. Like, I realized what the real mission was the entire time. And she has a third conspiracy theory now. It's not the Janeway is invading the D-Quad. It's not Chakotay is getting the Maquis band back together. It's that this was all a Starfleet plot to go get Seven from the D-Quad back from the Borgs.
Amazing that it's so personal now.
Yeah. I love all the footage they cut in from these old episodes.
Me too.
They cut stuff from episodes all through the series in this. It's really great.
Stardate 326.
Stardate 483.
Stardate 510.
Stardate 53329.
Voyager is sent to the Delta Quadrant with orders to retrieve me.
That's a long shot, Seth. That's not possible, Seth. What you're saying makes no sense.
I don't believe you.
Of course you don't.
I really like this a lot.
I think it's especially great because, like, some of the flashbacks are new footage and some of them are old footage, you know?
I like the specificity of the choices. Like, even if you're getting a couple of seconds here or there, they aren't so on the nose to bump you out of what you're thinking about during the scene. Like, there's not a ton of detail in these clips, and I think that's a positive thing about them.
Yeah. So Janeway explains, like, listen, you downloaded way too much information into your head and you can't actually process all of it. And so what you're doing is trying to make sense of an information overload, and you're connecting dots with, like, extremely improbable narratives that don't actually add up when you factor in all the information.
You've lost your goddamn mind, Charlie.
She starts talking about how they got to be friends with each other and how Janeway is, like, has Seven's best interest at heart, for real.
Don't you feel like Worf could have done this for Kern? Like, could have appealed to him in a different way, using experiences they've had together or memories or whatever. But no, Worf was like, stir that ice pick up, baby.
Yeah.
This was a great moment for Janeway. Like, the repetition of a captain's log is also, like, it kind of feels like a tempo that feels machine-like in a way that would appeal to a Seven. Like, there's a rhythm to this scene.
Yeah.
That wears her down in a way that I thought was really, really smart.
It's very interesting that Janeway has so many of these stardates memorized, too.
Yeah.
I wondered about it because I was like, man, like, she really has these down specifically, but then she, like, messes one of them up.
Yeah.
And so it seems like they're, like, things that she actually had. Like, she didn't, like, study up on an iPad before she beamed over there. Like, it seems like she actually, like, tries to keep track of these things in her own head.
She couldn't get Harry Kim's iPad to work for some reason.
Mm.
She was going to use it for those notes heading over, but yeah, kind of bizarre that it was bricked.
She tried to plug it in to charge, and there was some kind of goo in there.
Should I feel complimented or insulted?
Seven is persuaded. She drops the force field. Two to beam out. I guess they left the Delta Flyer in space.
Right? You want to get the Delta Flyer before you use the catapult.
Am I making any sense here?
Yeah.
And that was my main question at this point, was like, they're going to use the catapult, right?
I was so sad that they just cut to, we use the catapult in a captain's log.
That really felt like a double cross to me.
I wanted to see it again.
This episode is going one direction, at and into the catapult, and we don't even get that.
The catapult effect was cool. Do it again.
Oh yeah, instead, you know what we get to see? Naomi Wildman. Cool.
Dropping off a bunch of iPads in the ass lab.
Yeah. Seven has a life lesson for Naomi in this scene. Learned from her experience doing that sleep osmosis studying thing that she's been doing the whole episode. She's like, look, you can feel like you want to play all the games or read all the books or do whatever it is you're interested in to the maximum. But what's important here is that you choose quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Every time. Otherwise, you turn into a deranged conspiracy theory person. And
yeah.
No one likes those.
Yeah. And go easy on using Facebook, you know?
Yeah. So finally, we get a dinner scene with Janeway and Chakotay again. Unclear what's on the menu.
Well, it's like they've already eaten because they're having coffee, right?
Yeah. And they kind of post-game the paranoia that they both felt early on. And they make some jokes about it to lighten the tension. That's nice.
There's coffee interesting each other.
You didn't poison the coffee, did you?
Do like a nice poison in my coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Really makes it a little bit more piquant.
Coffee's probably a great vehicle for poison because of its inherent bitterness.
Yeah.
And that most poisons are bitter.
How would you know?
Did you like this episode, Ben?
You know, I'm really easy to get along with most of the time. But I don't like bullying, I don't like friends, and I don't like you.
I did like this episode. Yeah, I think that there's like a couple of bumpy parts here and there. But overall, I thought that they did a really effective job of giving the characters plausible reasons to mistrust each other. I thought it was a mm-hmm. really great performance by Jeri Ryan.
Yes.
And I really like the idea that she was able to undermine Janeway and Chakotay's sense of reality enough that they came to mistrust each other. Like, that feels like a really solid relationship right now. But, you know, like, having seen them together for 5+ seasons, I thought it was a real magic trick that this episode plausibly got them to a point where they were carrying guns around each other.
You really said it with plausibility. Everything laid out here seems pretty believable, or believable enough to cause a lot of consternation among the crew. The question remains, though, Ben, like, what was the tractor beam about? Like,
yeah,
that was real.
Or was it like a photo artifact that, you know, like...
I kind of wonder if this is going to be an ongoing mystery for anyone.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess there were some pieces of evidence in there that were genuinely concerning.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong episode. I liked it a lot. And I think you can put an episode's weight on Jeri Ryan and she'll carry that shit. She's great.
Yeah, she rules. All right, Adam. Do you want to see if there's anything in the Priority One inbox for this episode?
I am heading right there.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone, could be enough to buy this ship.
Ben, our first Priority One message is of a personal nature. It is from Steven, and it is to you and me. That message goes like this. Dear Ben and Adam, longtime supporter, first time P1. Thank you for all the excellent pod and the great communities that your shows have inspired. Shout out to all my exo cooks.
This is an exo cook.
Delicious. Delicious. Delicious.
You do understand that we cook most of our food.
Delicious. Delicious. Delicious.
Are those Valerian cannabis?
Oh, as a matter of fact, they are.
Delicious.
Grab a drink. I got to deal with the reps.
Get the cheese to sit back.
Delicious.
You're gonna want to try the omelet and the bacon.
Have a waffle.
Oh my god, this is delicious.
Delicious.
Soju.
The souffle will either rise or it will.
Scalloped potatoes, mutton shanks, oxtail, calf's toe.
There's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Oh my god, this is delicious.
You knew you.
She handled real meat.
You knew you.
She touched it and cut it.
Home.
Ben and Adam, thank you for being here. Could I offer you something? Perhaps an orange?
The exo cooks don't come close to data sophistication.
Exo cooks?
That's what I call them.
That was an exo cook drop that Steven wrote. That is amazing.
There you go.
I love playing viewer drops on the show.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Good job by Steven.
The Exo Cooks sent us aprons, and I still wear my Exo Cook apron from time to time. I was wearing it the other day. It was I was having a cookout with my family, and I was wearing my Exo Cook apron, and nobody asked me what it was.
Yeah, no one wants to start that kind of conversation with you. I wear mine too. It's covered in crud.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But that's what an apron's for.
Yeah, it's got dino damage, you know?
Sure does.
We should talk to the whoever made that ExoCook design about putting an ExoCook's apron in podshop.biz.
Since the creation and appearances of Peanut Hamper, do you feel any differently about the ExoCooks?
Yeah, just add a couple of flying turtles to the background of the image, you know?
Yeah. Maybe add a few more appendages to the front.
Adam, our next priority one message is from Joe. It is also to us. It goes like this. Recently, I was speaking with my girls, Emma, 11, and Bella, 9, and they made a faux vomiting sound that was pure garbage. Sending this $100 your way, hoping you would give them a demo of how it should be done so they grow up not being made fun of. Feel free to use whatever inspiration you need to get you to the right headspace. Thanks and best wishes.
I don't usually like to be pimped.
Mm.
I love this style of pimping. This is great.
All right, Emma and Bella, this is Ben and Adam. For some reason, your ridiculous father listens to our ridiculous podcast. We're going to give you a little lesson in how to make barf sounds, fake vomiting sounds that are not pure garbage.
Okay, hit plus 30 if this is something that will make you sick. All right, starting now. Because I'm going to be sick.
Oh God, Adam.
Oh, God. All right, I feel much better now.
Yeah, oh, it feels good to get it out.
I always feel better after.
Yeah, yeah.
Needed to be done.
The bad stuff is outside and not inside anymore.
I have a studio to clean up now.
Yeah. Oof.
Rough.
It's a real mess in here. Well, if you'd like to get a priority one message on the show, head to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It's $100 for a personal message or $200 for a commercial message. Please get some commercial messages. God damn it.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
I think I'm going to give it to Tosh. Tosh was a fun character. I like Tosh's explanation of why he lied.
Yeah.
As being like...
Definitely wasn't about a family he was fleeing at all.
It was not. And I think that the main reason I want to give it to Tosh is the mental image I had of all of the Mustache rides being provided once he got back to his home star system that we kind of riffed up here on the show. I feel like Tosh made a lot of people really happy when he came home, you know?
He will be missed.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that, Ben. I had another Shimoda, but goddamn. Great Shimoda. Gotta salute this real one with the Shimoda. One of the best.
Yeah. Yeah, Tosh rules.
I'll think about Tosh for a long, long time.
Well, Adam, why don't you head over to gach.biz/game. I'm going to tell you about the next episode we're going to watch. It's season 6, episode 10, Pathfinder. Voyager receives a special message from Starfleet Command.
Whoa!
Yeah.
This has got to be a trap, right? Because they always are.
Hmm. We'll find out.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Hmm. Ben, I'm over at the Game of Buttholes where our runabout pulses on square 57.
Okay.
5 squares ahead, a space butthole that would send us all the way back down to the second row. That's the only thing we can hit.
Okay.
With a 6-sided die.
You're required to learn as you play. Roll.
But we could also just hit a normal square, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. I should have put it like that. Yeah, we can still do normal episodes.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Let's see what happens. Ben, I rolled a 2.
Chula!
Did I win?
Hardly.
That puts us on square 59.
Nice.
Nice. And that makes it a regular old episode.
Okay.
For you and me.
Wow. I'm looking forward to a regular old episode.
Yeah.
Those are great.
It's going to be good. Yeah. Especially with this episode coming up.
Yeah. In retrospect, it's a shame we didn't land on a caretaker square last time, because this was a real, real caretaker-y adjacent episode that we just watched.
Yeah, sure was.
Well, anyways, had a great time talking it over with you today. It's always a pleasure to make pod for the friends of DeSoto, Adam.
The pod, either Star Trek or Baywatch or Cheesecake Factory or just a bunch of barf sounds. We do a variety of genres.
Speaking of Baywatch, right after this, we're going to record an episode of our Baywatch rewatch podcast, Santa Monica Mountains. We release like a handful of episodes a year about over in the bonus feed.
Oh, yeah. Check that out. If you are one of the great FODs that support the show at MaximumFun.org/join, look out for that.
We got to thank Wendy Pretty, the producer of this program. Got to thank Bill Tilly, our card daddy, who helps run the social medias on our show. Got to thank Adam Ragusea, who made the original theme music of Greatest Gen and Greatest Trek. And, of course, all of that was a riff off of the original work of Dark Materia, who made the Picard song. Boy, I don't know. Use the hashtag Greatest Gen to talk about the show online.
We're going out on tour. Peep our tour dates at greatestgentour.com.
Yeah, get some merch at podshop.biz, and we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek, not the Next Generation, Star Trek Voyager, and an episode of The Greatest Generation Voyager that you could confuse with a TNG episode, because it has not failed to eat its broccoli.
Oh, shit. I think I figured it out now. It's got me tapping for stress.
Yeah, yeah. Plexing, is that what they call it?
Yeah, so.
Make it so.
You know, I feel better already. I think I can do this.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.